Well, welcome everybody. Thank you for joining us once again. Hope you're all having a good week. How are you doing, Barry?
I'm doing great, mate. How are you?
Yeah, doing good. Thank you. Doing very well. Looking forward to heading off to sunnier climes on Friday.
I know. Tell us about it. That's pretty exciting.
So going to Uganda on Friday with Mike Hammond, who's on the webcast with us. We're going to Mota Mioni, Jinja, which is right on the bank of the River Nile. One day, Barry, I'm going to get you to come with me.
I know.
And just a little bit down from Lake Victoria. And the temperature's very pleasant, I have to say, at this time of year. We're doing a Father Heart encounter for the first 5 days next week. And then after that, I'm doing some training with the younger folk who are taking over more of the running of Mota Mioni. So I'm kind of doing some management training, how to run a business. Mike's going to help the practical guys in the gardens with how they can do things perhaps a bit better. And then the last few days, we're going to do an encouragement time with the staff at Mota Mioni, with Ingrid's staff, just to encourage them. The thing I really felt when I was just praying about it the other day is, I can never remember, I think it's Moses. It's either Moses or Joshua, but I think it's Moses. He was going into a battle and the Lord told him to hold out his spear. And when he got tired, his arms started to drop, and he had a couple of people holding his arms up. And I felt like the days with the staff at Mota Mioni are just to go and encourage them and lift up the weary hands and just see what Father does. So it's been really interesting, Barry. Normally I prepare a lot, and I kind of have a clear program of what we're doing day one, day two, day three. Every time I sat down to think about it, I've just got a sense of a few ideas, but I can't get a program together. So that's kind of interesting. Kind of looking forward to how that unfolds, but very much looking forward to it. It's a night flight on Friday night. We get there Saturday afternoon and then come home on the Thursday before Easter, arrive at Heathrow at 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning on Good Friday.
Wow.
So that's the plan.
Wow. And how many times have you gone to Uganda?
2005. This will probably be more than 20. This will probably be my 21st, 22nd time.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that is amazing.
Have to count it up one day.
Well, yeah, to the point where it's kind of, I'm just going to Uganda again, it would be great to, I mean, it's amazing how much you have just been able to sow into just the amazing work that Ingrid's doing and all the staff there. So we would just want, if you allow me to open prayer before we start, I just encourage everybody to stretch out their virtual hands towards Mark. Pray for him. Is there anything else going on?
The only other thing we have to mention, I think it's 6 weeks' time, isn't it? Barry and Anne are coming to Europe. We've got the conference at the beginning of May in the Netherlands, Thursday evening to Sunday lunchtime. And then the following week, we've got a Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Wes and Sharon Boxall's Church in Gloucester. They're both called the Deeper Homecoming. And you can find a bit more information on our website, fatherheart.uk/deeper homecoming, I think, or just go to the events page and find it. But we're really looking forward to doing those two events and just looking forward to being together as well. And yes. Very much looking forward to being in Gloucester with our friends, Wes and Sharon, who are hosting us for that second weekend. And then that Sunday evening, I can't remember all the dates, but they're all on the website. That Sunday evening, we're up in Bridgnorth with Mike and Sue, Norman and Johanna, and just doing an evening up there. So it's going to be fun. So plenty of space available in the Netherlands and plenty of space available in Gloucester. The Netherlands is a residential one, and the Gloucester one is non-residential. But you're welcome. We'd love to see you. Come from other countries in Europe, either to the UK or Netherlands. Why not? Yeah.
Anne and I are really looking forward to just hanging out and just, you know, I mean, I can, where am I going here? I go this way. It's kind of like we can bump shoulders, but
it's bumping my head.
It's kind of like, it's still virtual. There's nothing like bumping heads, you know, in the same room. So I think, you know, we'll be looking forward to that and just, you know, and gathering with friends around, you know, Europe. And it's been, it's always, I think of what our dear friend Mike Hammond said a couple of weeks ago, because, you know, he's used to seeing me just kind of the upper body, you know, and so he actually wonders if I actually have legs. So I have to prove that there's actually legs at the bottom of this projection. So yeah, we're really looking forward to it. And I mean, being together and just, just that synergy that happens when we all gather. Yeah. And so, yeah, yay God for that. So
what we got coming up. Looking forward to all of that. So yeah.
And so we're talking about freedom, the freedom of sonship.
Sonship. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just going to have a discussion together and see where we go, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. Did you want me to start by just opening in prayer?
Do you want to do that? And then I'll kick off with a few thoughts and then bring you back. Yeah.
Okay, great. Sounds good. And now I just want to encourage everybody, just if you can just stretch your virtual hands towards Mark. And Mike's on too. And Mike's here too. So just... you can bless Mike. He's on the chat. You can just give him hearts and all those things and maybe encouraging words as well as they go. And so, Father, we thank you for Mike and Mark going to Uganda and just bringing the amazing, incredible good news of your love in Jesus. And Father, we just ask for all the practical dynamics of a trip like this, that there would just be favor and just everything would go smoothly, traveling mercies. And Father, we pray even now for the hearts of every son and daughter at Miota Maoni, and just in preparation for the time together with Mike and Mark. And Lord, we just pray you just bless this time. May it just be, I hear just thinking of unexpected fruitfulness, Father, that, you know, Mark is going without, you know, necessarily the whole program fleshed out. So we just pray a blessing and just the ebb and flow. And I pray when Mike's in the garden and he's, you know, and he's just hanging out and just really encouraging the sons and daughters there, Father, that just that it would just be such a sweet time for each one there. And also for Mike and Mark as they go and come back. And Father, we just ask for open hearts tonight, that we would know whom the sun sets free is free indeed. Mm-hmm. I pray, Father, that we would go deeper into this revelation of love, and a love that sets us free into the wide open spaces of your kingdom that you want to even reveal even more in this moment than ever before. So we just trust you, and we all just want to hear your voice, hear your Holy Spirit just direct us in just what we talk about tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Barry. I'll catch you in a few minutes.
All righty.
Yeah, so we just want to talk about freedom, really, the freedom of sonship this evening. And in a few moments, Barry and I will be batting this around together. But just want to throw a few thoughts out to start with. Because, of course, we all know John 10, verse 10. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life, and life in all its fullness." You know, and that's really what the Father wants for all of his children, is to live in the fullness and the joy of this walk with him, and not to be bound but to be free. And you know, of course, we all gonna go through life struggles and the ups and downs of life, but you know, we can face those with a free heart. And that's what it's all about. You know, when I think of freedom, it's not so much, you know, having so much money that I can do whatever I wanted. It's not jumping up and down. It's not necessarily having all the balloons and all that sort of stuff, which is great, of course. But freedom is a free heart. And that's what the Father wants us to have. Barry's, in his prayer, mentioned John 8, where Jesus said, you know, if you, the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. And, you know, that's what it's about, is for us to walk into and live in the freedom, the glorious freedom, as Romans chapter 8 says, the glorious freedom of the sons of God, which creation is waiting for. Creation is groaning with eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. And when we walk in our freedom, when we live as sons and daughters, you know, somehow, and I don't fully understand this, but somehow creation around us is going to be changed and transformed. And that's really what I long to see. That's what we all long to see. You know, we want to see creation. We want to see the world around us transformed by the love of God. And as we live in, and as we are rooted and grounded in the love of God, our hearts will become freer. And, you know, we will just bring that freedom as a gift to the world. That's really what I believe the Father wants. You know, Jesus was the freest person ever. And we're called to walk as Jesus walked, to live as Jesus lived. And that means for us growing in freedom. And there are hindrances to that, and we may not have time to get into those today. But one of the biggest hindrances, of course, is carrying unforgiveness in our heart and bitterness in our heart, and, you know, not dealing with our stuff and carrying it. And, you know, the more we can deal with our stuff and let go of offense, you know, people offend us all the time, but if we hold on to that, it stops us being free. But if we can let go of the offense as soon as possible, then we're back on that path of freedom. It's what the Father wants for us. You know, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17 and 18, you know, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we with unveiled face behold the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is a transformation of our hearts that leads us into, you know, greater glory, one degree of glory to another. And I just want to start off this conversation on freedom about something I think is really important. Freedom is not just being free from something. You know, we often think we're set free from our sin, and of course we are, you know, and we're all grateful for that. But we are set free from something in order to be free to be someone. So whenever we talk about freedom, we have to talk about what we are set free from and what we are set free to be. And, you know, we see this right back in the story of the people of Israel when they're trapped as slaves in Egypt. And, you know, when they went to Egypt, of course, they went there with Joseph was looking after everything in the famine, and they come and get food. Joseph gives them some land. Many years later, they end up slaves. And during that period of slavery, their cry goes up to God, and God hears their cry, and he's concerned about them. And he sends to Moses, go and set my people free from the power of Egypt. So that's the first part. Moses went to set them free from the power of Egypt. But then in Exodus chapter 3 verse 17, the Lord says to Moses, I promise to bring you out of your misery in Egypt into the promised land. You see, they were free from the power of Egypt, but they were free to live in the promised land. And you know, that to me is such an important thing about freedom that we very often overlook. You know, one of the saddest things in society, and these are UK statistics, but this would be the same across the world, really, I think. 38% of UK adults who are released from prison, they reoffend within 1 year. 38% reoffend within 1 year. Within 5 years, 72% of prisoners reoffend. You know, now that's not unusual. That would be common right across the world. And the reason I think that's the case is because when those prisoners are set free from prison, you know, they can stand outside the prison and look back at the prison and say, you know, I'm free. I'm leaving that horrible place behind. But no one helps them to walk into the freedom that's in front of them. You know, the freedom to be a member of society and whatever. And that is what I think the problem is that we don't help people learn to be free to be. And I think it's the same for us. You know, it's very easy for us to look back at our old way of life and say, I've been set free from that. And what we need to do is turn around and say, yeah, I've been set free from that, but I've been set free to walk into something new. And that's what we want to do. You see, if you look at what you've been set free from, you will be drawn back into it. And that happens in our own lives very often. You know, we dwell on what we've been set free from and it sucks us back in. But if we can turn around with gratitude and say, I've been set free from that. You know, thank you, Father, for setting me free from that. But we need to turn around and look at what we are free to be, who we are free to become. And that to me is such an important thing about freedom. And I want to encourage you this evening, and then I'm going to bring Barry back in just in a moment. It's look at, you know, if you're struggling with things and feeling that you're not really free from it, you know, what may be happening is you've not turned around and looking into that place of freedom, the freedom to be. And the Father wants you to leave that, what you're free from, and walk into what you are free to be. And, you know, if you're struggling, I just encourage you to set your eyes forward and look to Him and follow Him, because where He goes is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Follow the Spirit into freedom rather than, you know, constantly thinking, oh, this is what I've been free from. So Barry, do you want to come back and we'll see where this goes, eh?
Yeah, that was that's really good, Mark. I think sometimes when we think about freedom, like you said, we have this idea that it's kind of what we were free from, but it's like, our, you know, God wants us to live a free life now, right? Yeah. And like you said about the prisoners reoffending, you know, and it's very common here. I don't know what the stats are in Canada or the US, but I'm sure it would be similar. It was just the idea of the predictability of being in a prison, you know, where you're, everything is predictable and everything is maybe, you know, familiar. And I think oftentimes with prisoners, they can get comfortable with that. And so then there's just this, no, they don't have to decide what they're going to eat or where they're going to go. Everything's decided for them. And it's kind of like, you know, the idea of, you know, I kind of imagine it sometimes, and I'll say in my own struggle as well, kind of metaphorically, is just, it's almost like, you know, Jesus has, you know, blown off any prison doors. Like there is absolutely no prison doors, but, you know, are we comfortable? Will we dare to actually go out of the prison cell? Because there's no doors, there's nothing holding us there, and go into the open spaces. And I always love that scripture passage that you talk about going into open spaces, right? Mm-hmm. The freedom of going into those places. And, you know, or do we really feel like there's some kind of false security in the predictability of being kind of, you know, imprisoned in our kind of our own kind of, even our own mind in that sense. And I think that's so important. You know, one of the things, and I've shared this before, but I was just reminded I shared this last week when I was away at the school of ministry, and just, you know, when I went to a zoo one time, a local zoo, and I just wanted to see a lion. And you know, and again, this isn't a statement about zoos or anything else. This is about the statement of the issue of the human heart. And when I went to the lion exhibit, the lion was sound asleep, and the male lion and the female lion. And it was a small zoo, very small cage that they were in, and very, very enclosed in a small space. And then I just asked God that if he would just open up the eyes of the lion so I could see his eyes. And it was like immediately the lion opened his eyes and he was staring at me. And it was like he was staring through me. And I got a picture of it that, you know, I often share. But it was at that point God spoke to me, I felt, and in my heart. And he said, take a look at this lion. And he said, this is why I hate captivity, because I've created everything to be free. And now he wasn't talking about the morality of zoos, so there's no worry with that. What he was talking about, there's this lion in that, and I just had the sense of this lion in this very small cage knew who he was. In that sense, he was this king of the beast, king of the jungle, and yet he was imprisoned. And I just felt like the Father just this ferocious love that the Father has for each and every one of us, that he wants us free. He doesn't want us to live in captivity. And, you know, when you think of Isaiah 61, when that was the passage of scripture that Jesus used to proclaim his public ministry, and it starts with the words, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to set the captives free. And I think, you know, when we start to really understand how passionate our Heavenly Father is for us to be totally free. And again, it's not free just from something, but free to walk into the open spaces. What is that Bible verse again that you often share about the open spaces?
Job 36, verse 16. And it's, I always get into problems with my interpreters on this verse. What it says, obviously in English, is he is wooing you from the jaws of distress to a spacious place free from restriction, to the comfort of your table laden with choice food. And I love that verse. And because, of course, the word in English, the word wooing, is a very romantic word. And it's like, you know, he's drawing us romantically from the jaws of distress to a spacious place. Another translation says a wide open space. And you know, some of the other, you know, when you translate that verse into other languages, the word wooing is lost, and it comes across like as he is enticing you, which is not the same, or he is he's drawing you. Again, it's not the same, or he's leading you, you know, but it doesn't convey that sense of romantic love, drawing us as a lover away from a place of restriction to a wide open space. And you know, for me, that verse is just so powerful. Job 36, verse 16, just really catches the heart of what the Father wants to do for us. And yeah, I've made a decision. I am not going back. I am not going back to the jaws of distress. And when something happens in my life, and it happened, you know, maybe 18 months, 2 years ago, I felt myself being sucked back towards the jaws of distress, and I was really sort of, no, I'm not going there. I want this wide open space. And the thing about the wide open space, of course, is it just gets wider and wider and wider. And you know, we've got this limitless freedom in front of us to explore. So I want to encourage you, go for it, go for your wide open space.
and think about this for a second. You know I'll put on my astronomy hat here, but the fact that the universe is expanding, and it's expanding it, from what I understand, I don't know how the number, but it's very fast. It's not like it's this inching out into I mean, I don't even know how can a universe expand. What is it expanding into? I don't know, because what's on the other side. But the idea that, you know, there's 1 to 2 trillion galaxies in the known universe, that and they can only say the known universe. And you think of this, you talk about wide open spaces. Mm-hmm. That's all I want to say is that when we're going to rule and reign with Jesus forever, I truly believe that the expanse of the kingdom and the, you know, Isaiah talks about Jesus and this is of the extension of his government, there is no end. Right. And so, you know, when we talk about freedom and being able to go into those wide open spaces, that's, you know, the little boy in me goes there right away with rocket ships and faraway planets and galaxies and all those other things. But I just believe what, you know, the Father really does want us just to be encouraged that it's just he is wooing us. It's like, you know, come, you know, just convincing us, like even in a gentle way, you know, Paul saying, I'm convinced that nothing in all creation can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And it's just this gentle wooing, saying, come on, you can go. Even if it's like, you know, if we're struggling with our a feeling of being captive into something. It's like the Father just even baby steps, like, come on, you know, you can do this. Yeah. You know, I'm with you. And it's for, you know, I think of Galatians 5:1 that says, it is for freedom's sake that Christ set us free.
Yes.
It's like God loves it when his kids are free. He has not created us for captivity. And, you know, even when you think of that lion illustration being in a little jail cell, that, you know, in the one of the descriptions of Jesus is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And of course, we know that our union with Jesus has secured us a place in the Father's heart and understanding what does that mean to have a lion, you know, the lion of Judah living inside of us. And Proverbs 28:1 says that the righteous are as bold as a lion. But the wicked flee with no one pursuing. And I just believe that in that sense of that encouraging freedom, that there'd be even a new boldness to dare what the Father wants us to experience.
Yeah. And I think, Barry, one of the things that often happens for us is we have a fear of making mistakes. And because of that fear of making mistakes, we don't often step out into the freedom that we've got, you know. And I think it's probably the greatest gift that God gave us when he made us. He gave us the gift of free will. He gave us the gift to choose, you know. And that is so important, because that's, you know, that's the hallmark of freedom, is this thing of choosing to go into the wide open. You know, you can stay in the jaws of distress. We've got a choice, you know, but we've got the choice to step. We're not pushed. We're not made to. We're given this choice. And of course, whenever we have the freedom of free will, we've got the huge possibility of making a mistake. And, you know, I really believe as sons and daughters, mistakes do not disqualify us. You know, if you're a servant, if you're living in an orphan-hearted way, then, you know, very often mistakes disqualify. You know, we look at the world system, you make a mistake, you're written off. But in the kingdom of heaven, in God's family, mistakes do not disqualify us. And I just want to say to any of you, you know, if you feel you're disqualified because of a mistake you've made, there is always a pathway back to redemption. We see that in Luke 15, you know, all we have to do is turn and come home. And there's always that path of redemption. You know, Gandhi said this. He said, freedom is not worth having if it does not give you the freedom to make mistakes. Because otherwise, if we're not prepared to run that risk, we're going to be paralyzed and stuck. And we're going to miss out on so much of what the Father wants to give us. And he really wants us to walk into this wide open space. You know, freedom from is only a part of the story. Freedom to be is, I think, the bigger part of the story. It's the better part of the story. And, you know, I want to just encourage us with that, to push, you know, to go for it. I just want one little thing I noticed when I was reading the story of the people of Israel, and I kind of mentioned a little bit about it earlier on. Of course, if we go back in history, there were the 7 years of plenty, good harvests, and then 7 years of famine. Joseph is promoted to look after and steward the 7 years of plenty, so there's enough food for Egypt when it's famine. And of course, halfway through the famine, Joseph's brothers come down to buy some food. Now, they don't recognize Joseph, but of course, he recognizes them. And, you know, to cut the story short, he basically provides for his family. He brings a whole family, that his dad and all of the servants, and he gives them a good part of the land of Egypt. And, you know, what they would done is he brings them into a place of freedom. You know, they were suffering. There was no food for them. It was just hard. And it was not a place of freedom where they were. And Joseph brings them into this place of freedom where they can grow and prosper. But many, many years later, they've become this great nation of slaves. And for me, that's a lesson. It's like what was once freedom can become something that enslaves us. Mm. And, you know, the provision for the people of Israel in Egypt ended up being their slavery, you know, a place of slavery. And that can happen for us, you know, in our own journeys, that we can get to a place where we know we're experiencing greater freedom than we were 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago. But if we stay put in that place, if we settle in that place, eventually something inside of us dies, and it becomes, instead of the place of freedom that it was, it becomes a place of slavery. And so that's why for me, this wide open space, that verse in Job, is so important, because I want to keep moving into more and more freedom. And I don't want to be, you know, I know, and Barry, I hope, you know, knows it for himself. Maybe he sees it in me as well. You know I'm freer than I was 5 years ago. But in 5 years' time, I want to be freer. You know, and I think that's what the Father wants for all of us. You know, yeah, we're living in a measure of freedom now, but hey, there's so much more. Don't let what is freedom now become the thing that enslaves you in the future.
No, that's a very good word. And I think one of the things that people struggle with in that, you know, just the whole idea of freedom, is being able to actually give themselves permission to ask questions about their own circumstances and their own heart's desires and what the Father is speaking to them about. Because oftentimes, you know, we spend our entire lives trying to live up to an expectation from other people, from ourselves, from culture, from education, whatever, where it actually defines us in a way that is so much more limiting than what the Father says we are. And so my encouragement to you and me and Mark, and as we just go from glory to glory or freedom to freedom, I think we would say in this broadcast, is that we would be able to have open hearts and always continually asking the Father to speak about his desires that are being at work in us. You know, Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in us to will and to do his good pleasure. But, you know, it's so amazing. And, you know, I'm sure, Mark, you've prayed for many people in the same situation where Ann and I have prayed for people and said, what's on your heart? Like, what do you love to do? And people have said, I've never been able to give myself permission to even ask that question. So maybe even, you know, as you're listening to this broadcast, whether it's live or afterward, that maybe ask that question. Have you been able to even give yourself the permission to ask God about the desires of your heart? And we're not talking about just the fleeting desires. We're talking about the longings, the things that make your heart go pitter-patter, right? Yeah. And just be able to, as the Chariots of Fire quote from the runner from the UK said, God made me to run fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. And I think that's all part of this beautiful journey that the Holy Spirit is leading us on into greater freedom, right? It's being able to to know who God created us to be as sons and daughters. And one thing I'll just mention about, just a comment about what you mentioned about the kind of the fear of failure, the fear of making a mistake. I think, you know, oftentimes, you know, because of our identity is rooted in either, you know, so much so in our success, like, and if we success, then maybe we're loved. And if we fail, shame comes. And of course, that is not the way it is with our dad. You know, he is the Bible says in Thessalonians that he's our eternal encourager. And that, you know, and I think about little kids, right? Can you imagine a toddler? And, you know, of course, we both have grandchildren. And, you know, when they started to walk, right, baby steps, I mean, they're cruising around the coffee table. They're just, you know, learning how to walk. If a parent said, you know, if you fell down for the first time, like, that's it, you're not going to walk anymore, you know, how helpful would that be to that little child? Of course, you know, we encourage them. You can do it. You can do it. You can walk. And I really believe the Father is encouraging all of us in this greater realm of freedom to say, you can do it. I believe in you.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, looking at the life of Jesus, the thing that really strikes me is the more secure we are in our sonship, you know, the more secure we are as sons and daughters, the greater freedom we experience. You know, I did a webcast last night for a group of in Poland, and I spoke on the authority of sons. And you know, one of the verses I mentioned was when Jesus he's got his disciples together for the Last Supper, John 13, and he washes their feet at the beginning of the meal. And it just says, you know, Jesus knew that the Father had given him all things, that all things had been put in his hands. He knew where he had come from, and he knew where he was going. You know, that's like, he's so secure in his sonship. You know, he knows who he is. He's so secure in his sonship. He takes off his outer garments, puts a towel around him, washes his disciples' feet. You know, he was so secure in who he was that he was free to do that most menial task of washing the disciples' feet without any problem, any hesitation, any feeling of insecurity. You know, he was just free. We see it again after his baptism. Jesus goes into the wilderness. He's fasting for 40 days, and then Satan comes to tempt him. Now, the very last thing, you know, before he went into the wilderness, the Father said, "You are my son. I love you. I'm proud of you." It's like, you know, he knows. He knows who he is. And then Satan comes to tempt him. And the thing that Satan tempts him on is that relationship. You know, if you're the Son of God, you know, prove it. That's basically what he says. If you're the Son of God, prove it. And Jesus just told him where to go. Because, you know, most of us would probably have an argument with Satan and try and sort of bat it around theologically or whatever. But Jesus was so secure in who he was as a son. He just tells Satan where to go. And to me, it's like freedom is an expression of our sonship. And the more we are secure in who we are as sons and daughters, the freer our hearts will become. And, you know, when the enemy challenges us, when we feel under pressure, we can just tell him where to go, because we know who we are. Yeah. And, you know, I just think the more we grow in sonship, freedom will just become, it's just become who we are.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's important, you know, in that story of Jesus hearing from his dad, like, and publicly, right? The Father from heaven, Bible says the windows were torn open, and the voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased." You know, it was like the Father couldn't contain his joy over his son. And it was that declaration of love that, propelled Jesus into his destiny, into the wilderness. Then after the 40 days, Satan comes. And it's interesting that the very issue that the enemy used to try to tempt Jesus was his sonship, right? So the very thing that the Father declared publicly, that's what the enemy tried to tempt Jesus with. And I think his strategies are the same today that they were back then, that it's no surprise that the enemy will come and try to actually attack the very essence of who the Father says we are, that we are his beloved sons and daughters, and that we are, you know, pleased in his sight. And so I just think, you know, again, as you said, Mark, you know, what Jesus' response was, you know, it wasn't like he debated, he didn't try to, he just said, it is written, you know, man shall not live by bread alone, you know, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And it's just like, we don't have to get into the shouting match with Satan or the accuser or prove ourselves, because Jesus did everything from affirmation.
Yeah.
Everything that he did was from a place of saying, you're my boy, you're my beloved son, you belong to me.
Yeah.
I'm pleased with your life. And I really believe the more that we believe that, the more that it will propel us into our destiny as well. And for some of us, and you know, like we talked about earlier about being free from the jaws of distress, you know, if we are still in a place of the jaws of distress, you know, the Father absolutely loves us there. Yes. He understands why we struggle there, and he will not stop loving us there. But, you know, in that same place, he wants to woo us into a greater expanse in our hearts to really be the sons and daughters that he created us to be.
Absolutely. And, you know, Psalm 23, of course, we know so well, Psalm 23, verse 4 and 5, even though I walk through the valley, the darkest valley, I fear no evil, because you're with me, your rod and staff are my comfort. Mm. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Now, I mean, just think about that. We know that psalm so well and we quote it so easily, but just think about it. The table of good things is prepared in the middle, in the midst of all the enemies. Mm. Now, would you sit down at a table in the middle of, you know, in the open air? Would you sit down at a table when all your enemies were surrounding you? You know, I think, you know, if I was there, I would be looking over my shoulder all the time to see what's coming. Yeah. But the picture the psalmist gives us is this is a place of total security, total freedom. Yeah. And all you have to do is look at the wonderful things that are spread on the table before you. And let our Father look after the enemies. You sit at the we get to sit at the table. We get to enjoy the comfort of the Father's presence, the intimacy with the Father. We get to enjoy that, and he looks after the enemies. You know, that's an incredible picture of security and freedom. And that's what the Father has for us. You know, hey, don't worry about the enemy. You come and sit in their midst and enjoy this table of good food. You know, maybe we can pray in a couple of minutes, Barry, but I'd just like to tell a story that I heard in Uganda. You know, we often quote Romans 8, you know, creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Mm. You know, creation has been subjected but will be liberated from its bondage and brought into the glorious freedom of the sons of God. You know, so creation is crying out for us to live in our true identity. But I was in Uganda one time and I heard this story. It was a guy who owned some cows. And these cows were not producing very much milk. And, you know, it wasn't producing very much money. He wasn't able to get much money from the milk. So he heard about this glorious freedom of the sons of God and creation changing and being brought, you know, creation being brought into the same freedom. So he went back after the Father Heart School and he starts talking to his cows. And he tells his cows how wonderful they are and how lovely they are. And, you know, he just speaks positive things to these cows. This is a true story, folks. This really is a true story. He talks these positive things to the cows. And within a few days, those cows are producing way more milk. Wow. So much so that he can sell the milk and have enough money to put his children through school. Now, that's just one little story, you know, of a son bringing his freedom to creation. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like, but I don't really think I'm seeing it very much, but I want to see more of creation, the world around me being brought into the freedom that I enjoy. And as we go deeper into this freedom, I want to see more of that happen.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. And I think, you know, I was just thinking, why does God want us to walk in freedom? It's because he loves us.
Yeah.
And he just loves us. He wants his kids to be free. Think in the natural realm of your own children, if you have children, or your, you know, nieces and nephews, or what is your dream for them? Your dream isn't that they would be, you know, locked up in any a prison of fear or any, you know, confined in closed spaces. You want absolute freedom for those who you love. How much more does our Father in heaven love it when we walk in the glorious freedom of the children of God? And as you said, Mark, I've always wondered about that Romans 8 chapter about all creation is groaning and waiting, travailing, waiting for the revealing of the children of God, so that that creation itself might come into that glorious freedom themselves, right? And I love that story of this man with his cows. That's awesome.
Yeah, maybe I'll come back with a few of my own from this trip. Why don't we just spend a few moments opening our hearts, just letting the Father speak. It's for freedom that we've been set free.
Yeah.
Freedom, we've been set free to be sons and daughters. So yeah, just let's see what he wants to do over these next few minutes, eh? Thank you, Father. It was for freedom that we were set free. Father, we want freedom for our own hearts. Father, we're just so aware that there's still orphan-hearted ways in us. There's still ways of fear within us. There's still servant-hearted ways within us. We're probably all too aware of those in our own lives, in our own hearts. And Father, I just ask that you will cause us to look into the wide open space and set our hearts on a pilgrimage into that wide open space, that we have nothing to fear because we're led by you. Father, thank you that you have set us free from a life of sin and death. But Father, that's only part of the story.
Yeah.
You did that because you wanted us to live in the glorious freedom of the sons of God. And so Father, I just ask that we would set our hearts into that journey of freedom. And you would give us that gift of freedom. More freedom for each of us, Father. A greater expression of freedom in our hearts. Thank you, Father. Thank you that as you love us, you love our hearts back to life. You love our hearts away from the orphanness. You love our hearts away from fear. Father, thank you. It's because we are sons and daughters, and it's simply because you love us. That we would become rooted and grounded in love. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord. Yeah, and I just get a sense, and I don't know if there's somebody who's maybe this is for, but there's an old covenant paradigm that speaks of our hearts being, or a heart being, exceedingly wicked. Who can trust it? But that's an old covenant paradigm. That is not the new covenant of the new heart. That's that the promise of Ezekiel, where God said, I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will give you a new spirit, and I will put my spirit in you. And I just pray that if you are struggling with maybe even the words of judgment of a, that you have a wicked heart and who can trust it, that the Father would just set you free to hear those words, that your new heart is a heart that he loves, and he loves you, and he leads you by the desires, the longings of your heart. And so, Father, I just pray if there's anybody that struggles or has some tension in their own heart that about feeling that they can't trust their own heart, Father, would you just woo us and convince us once again that we are loved and our hearts are loved, and that, you know, that you would just lead us by our hearts into a glorious freedom that we've never experienced before, Lord, that it would be just like this ever-expanding paradigm in the kingdom, where we're realizing that it's for freedom's sake that Christ has really set us free.
Yeah, thank you, Father. Yeah, thank you. Father, may we see that you're not out to condemn us, you're not out to judge us, but your heart for us is that we would walk as your Son Jesus walked in the glorious freedom. Father, just help us to be so secure in that sonship, as sons and daughters, that we just know who we are.
Yeah,
thank you, Father. May we grow in freedom. May we grow in freedom. Thank you. Wow, thank you all for joining us.
That's very good, eh? I just kind of just soaking in this in. It's kind of the afterglow. Yes. And I just encourage you guys in the next couple of weeks, if you think of Mark and Mike as they go on this great journey to Africa, to Uganda, that you just pray blessings upon them and their families who are going to be staying at home, and all of the practical things of what happens when they're on this trip. And of course, for every heart, and Moyoni. Sorry, I apologize, Ingrid, if she hears this. Moto Mioni, and that just every heart there would be blessed. And just as a reminder for anybody who is in North America, that Europe is catching up to us with daylight savings time this weekend. And so next week, I'll be back with 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, or actually 3 p.m. daylight savings time. And then it'll be 8 p.m. daylight savings time in the UK, and then 9 p.m. in parts of Europe. So bless you guys, and thank you so much.
And obviously Barry, for the next 2 weeks, Barry will be on his own or having a guest. I probably won't be able to have the opportunity of sharing this to my Facebook page. So if you want to come, if you normally come in through my Facebook page, next couple of weeks, Father Heart TV on Facebook, and that will get you into the webcast, or it will be on the website the next day or so. But thanks for joining us, and I'll see you in a few weeks' time.
All right. Bless you.
Thanks.